So our focus now really is on the issues of Ofan HaTfilah, the issues of how one goes about doing Tfilah. There were a couple of Sifim at the beginning. We already spoke last time, Sif Aleph was a blend of many different issues. But Sifim Beis and Gimel at the beginning of the Siman also focus on issues of how to Tovel, as well as at the end of the Siman, from Sif Yud Beis and on. I think it looks like the reason why they're divided into two different parts of the siman, if you see in your upper tour, is largely those NCFM are topics that don't appear in the tour. Just more issues that the Beis Yosef wanted to raise that aren't directly ruined in the tour. So at the end of the siman, he goes through all the issues that the tour hasn't yet raised, that he's going to, Beis Yosef, raise independently. So that's why it gets divided between the beginning of the siman and the end of the siman. So at the beginning of the siman, he talks about how you hold the kli and what bracha you make. So if beis is how you hold the kli, it's really rooted in a pair of mishnayos. It's not 100% clear. This is one of those cases, if you just opened up the page of the tour and you're reading Tur Beis Yosef's Dark Moshe without trying to dig backwards, you don't realize how much of what they're quoting from Chachmei Ashkenaz is already really rooted in earlier mishnayos. In many ways, the discussion of the achizas hakli, how you hold the kli, begins with the last mishnah in the eighth parak of Mikvos, and also is very much rooted in the last mishnah in the seventh parak of Mikvos. Ches he and zayin zayin. So ches he presents a machlokas. Machlokas hatanon. Tanakama and Reb Shimon. Tanakama says, if you're going to hold on to someone, a person or a kli, while you're matbil, him or her or it, that's going to be a problem. Tameim. The tefillah won't be valid unless hidiach yadav. If the holder rinses his hand, we're talking about our situation, a person is going to be matbil a kli. So Tanakama says, you're just going to take the kli, hold the kli while you put it into the mikveh, it doesn't work. Tameim. Well, it won't even be good to get it. The kli will remain tameim. But, hidiach yadav, if you rinse your hands first, and then you hold it, so your hands are very wet, and then you put it, that's fine. Reb Shimon says, yirape. You should hold it loosely, kadesh yavo bahem hamayim. So that the water can get in. So Tanakama talks about rinsing your hand, and Reb Shimon talks about Rifya, holding loosely. Both of those sound familiar from the Sif Beis. There is a machlokas harishonim, how to read the Mishnah. In other words, Reb Shimon what did Tanakama think about Rifya? So the Rambam thinks that the Tanakama does not accept Rifya. So the tour in Kuf Tzadi Ches, in the Siman about Tfilas Nida, points out there's machlokas, the Rambam and Rashba. The Rambam says the Tanakama doesn't allow Rifyon, only Reb Shimon is being makel. You know, Rifyon is okay. You don't have to get your hand, which is just hold it loosely, while the Tanakama, according to the Rambam and the Rush, Tanakama says no such thing as Rifyon, because we're worried, why is it no good? Gezeira rafoy ato ein rafoy. Alright, you're holding some person or thing, whatever it is, in mikvah. You think you're holding loosely, but the vice is in the water. And we all know, even Tov Tachelim, we all know that many mikvos have their entertaining signs about, you know, sunken treasures and all the things that got lost at the bottom of the mikvah. You could pick up lost and found. You know. Things fall to the bottom. If you're lucky, they get lost rather than shattering. So according to Rush and the Rambam, the Tanakama does not allow holding it rough, for you must get your hand wet, whereas Reb Shimon says, no, it's sufficient to be merapi yadav. The Rashba, though, disagrees. And the Rashba says, the Rifyon is fine l'chol hadeis. The Rifyon is fine l'chol hadeis. So that translates lemaisa into machlokas. If we pass in like the Tanakama, is Rifyon acceptable or is Rifyon unacceptable? So you open up the Torah right here. The Torah says It has to be rafui, or you have to get your hand wet. That sounds like he's accepting both approaches. Either means he's passing like Reb Shimon, or more likely he's passing like the Rashba. The Bach is not excited about that. Bach says, "What do you mean? If you make it like a Rashba against a Rambam, against a Pirush HaRash and Mishnayis, against a Ramban, how could that be?" So he, it's not 100% clear whether the Bach would, not 100% clear whether the Bach would be Machmir even in the context of Tfilas Kalim or just by Tfilas Nida. Obviously, the stakes are higher when it comes to Tfilas Nida. You look in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, Sar she kli rafui biyado b'shas tevila shemahat kav yada v'chatzitza. In lich lech yadu mayim tchila ein lachosh. So the Shulchan Aruch just quotes, Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Chaf here, quotes the tour straight. And you look in the Shach, he says, well, what do you mean? What do you mean it's machlokes rishonim? How come we're so convinced? And he says, the Bach talks about tefilas nida, kuf tzadiches. And he tells you, at the end of the shach, he tells you, look in the Mishnah, it's the end of parak chesay, that's where it all comes from. That's a machlokes rishonim. How to, as machlokes hatanam, the Mishnah machlokes rishonim, how to read the Mishnah. I think the predominant view is to assume like the Shulchan Aruch. Chachmas Adam also writes like the Shulchan Aruch. Like the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah. You take a look at the Pesachei Tshuva, Sif Kana, he also talks about that. He says, oh, maybe if you're Machar by Tum, maybe you should make a by Tfilas Kalim. The standard approach, at least in the world of Tfilas Kalim, to be Makel, that you have either solution. You can either be Merapi Yado, or you can wet your hand. Again, you don't have to hold it all. You have many Kalim where you could just let it drop on its own and catch it. That's fine. You have a basket, you put the basket into the water, then you drop the... You submerge the basket under the water, and then you start dropping kalim in. There'll be one moment when the kli is totally surrounded by the water, and we call it stadim. So that's certainly fine. But if you want to hold on to it, so the standard approach seems to be like the Mechaber, again, based on the Rashba, that you have either solution. You could hold it loosely, as long as you're careful to hold it loosely, or you could wet your hands first. Now, that again, that's rooted in that Mishnah at the end of the eighth parak, where even Reb Shimon said, excuse me, the Tanakhama had said, you should be madiach yadav. Now the discussion about that too. If you want to hold it tightly, it's a heavy thing, and I'm not going to hold it loosely. I want to hold it tightly, so I want to get my hands wet. So the Ramah raises an issue about that, which is really rooted in the Mordechai. Mordechai here, in Simon Taf Samach, Simon 860, the Darkei Moshe quotes the Mordechai. Mordechai raises several issues about how you tovel Kalim. And just to keep in mind the historical context, you see from time to time they're talking about toveling things in a dili, toveling things in a bucket. That was often because... In many towns that were landlocked, if they're able to figure out that in many towns that were landlocked, they weren't on the coast and they weren't right next to a river, often the most available mikveh for kalim was the well, the local well, which was, again, either whether it's fed by spring water or rainwater. If the water is still, then it's kasher for mikveh. If it's fed by spring water that we discussed last time, then even if it's motion, but it has to, in order to be kasher, either has to be still mikveh, kavi v'kaima, or has to be mayan, has to be spring water. So oftentimes, the well would be kasher for tefilas kalim. It's not going to be practical for tefilas adam necessarily, but it would be kasher for tefilas kalim. How do you get the kli all the way down to the well? No problem. Put it in the bucket. and lower it down with a pulley, and submerge the bucket under the water level, and the kli gets a tefillah, and then you bring it up, and it's fine. So that's the background. The Mordechai starts saying, well, that's fine, assuming that you position the kli properly in the bucket. He says, but let's say I have a heavy glass bowl, and I put it flat down on the bucket. So the Mordechai says, that's a real problem. So you better make sure to put it on its side so it could roll around. Because if you put it flat down, then the water is not going to get under. Let's see, if you put it facing up, the water is not going to get underneath the bottom of the kli. Mishum kovet hakli, the weight of the kli. Ah, he says, but the Mishnah, at the end of the seventh parak, the other Mishnah's relevant to this sugya. Mishnah, at the seventh parak, tells us about mayim mekadmin. If the water got there first, it's fine. The Mishnah talks about, a heavy kli that you're putting into the mikvah. So don't worry, even though it's going to sit, by the time you get, so let's say the bottom of the mikvah is muddy. So by the time you get the top of the kli under the water level, the bottom of the kli is already, up against the mud. So the Mishnah says, don't worry, mayim mekadmin, the water got there first. Right now, the let's say the bottom of the leg of the bed, that's what the Mishnah is talking about, toveling the bed, obviously not tefillas kelim for klei suda, but tefillas kelim in terms of tumah and tahara, the bed was tar, tumah you take it to mikvah to make a tar. So the Mishnah says, don't worry about the fact that by the time the top of the bed is under the water, the bottom of the bed is up against the mud. Mayim mekadmin, the water was there, because the leg of the bed was going down through the water of the mikvah until it hit the bottom. So it was already in contact with the water, and there was a layer of water there in advance of hitting the bottom. Mayim mekadmin, so that's acceptable. Yeah? No, not l'chatzah. Oh, yeah, right. So again, one of the differences between tefillah and hagala is that tefillah has to be, there has to be one moment when the entire surface of the kli is simultaneously in contact with meha mikvah. It's to be called gufa bevasachas. So we don't mean that at 3:07 and 5 seconds the bottom was in contact with the water. Then at 3:05 and 8 seconds the top is in contact with the water. No, it has to be one moment everything in contact. So there's no tevila at all until the very top of the kli, even the top of the kli, is submerged. That's the moment of tevila. At that point, the bottom of the legs of the bed already up against it. I was saying that's still considered a kasher tefillah because of mayim mekadmin. It had been going through the water, and it, so in Mela, there's a, not just historically went through the water. That means it's hitting the bottom with a layer of water. So there's going to be a thin layer of water. We're saying in between the bottom of the bed and the surface of the mikvah. How they get there? Because it went through the water. So it landed like that. So that's mayim mekadmin. So that's considered to be contact with the meha mikvah. So the Mordechai says, hey, so what's the problem? Why am I so upset about the heavy glass kli? It's up against the bottom of the bucket they're using to lower into the mikvah. What's the problem? The bucket is wet. You think the bucket is dry. The bucket is always wet. You lower it. Remember, 99% of the time you're not using it for tefillas kelim. 99% of the time you use a bucket to draw water from the. You need water, so you draw water from the well using the bucket. So it may not be full. Whoever used it last probably is going to empty it out, but there'll be a layer of water there. So Mordechai says, So maybe I can just put the bucket, the glass please straight down. Mayim mekadmin, put it down on the wet surface, and then it'll go down and it'll be in contact with the mikvah. So the Mordechai says, no, that's not good. Why? Why is that not good? So he says, because that's not mikvah water. He says, very nice, you got it wet. It has to be wet with mikvah water. So with mikvah water. So then you take a look in, you take a look at the Turin Shulchan Aruch, they talk about, getting your hands wet. That's what the Ramban adds, but only if your hands are wet with main mikvah. It can't be my inclusion. Stop, I wash my hands in the sink, and then I hold the kli with wet hands. So that's a Mordechai, that's no good. Mayim Makadmin, the Mishnah, can you remember the original Mishnah of Mayim Makadmin, it was in the, you're putting it into the mikvah. It's being surrounded by mikvah water. So that's the approach of the Mordechai. That's the approach of the Mordechai that the Ramah seems to be arguing for. The Achronim add, the Achronim add the following point. They say, when the Ramah says, I can't wash my hands from the sink, can't I get my hands wet from the sink? My Makadim has to be mikvah water. That's the Ramah here in Kuf, Chaf, Sif, Beis. And let's say I stick my hands in the mikvah, I take them out. So why is that any better? Why is that any better? Very nice. It was mikvah water historically, but now I took it out. So now it's not mikvah water anymore. And after all, by the way, that's the case of the Mordechai. Why is the bucket wet? Presumably from the water of the well, which we're assuming is a kasher mikvah. But once you pull it out, it's not a kasher mikvah anymore. So that's why the several achronim say, the Mati Yehonasan on the side, and the Vilna Gaon, they say what the Ramah means, if you want to be machmer for this position of the Mordechai, that mayim mekadmin is only mikvah water, it doesn't mean stick your hands in the mikvah and take them out and hold the clean. It means it has to continue to be mikvah water. So what that means is, you have to stick your hands in and grab the kli under the mikvah. That is, put your hand in and then place the kli into your hand, or you know, put the kli in and reach in and grab it under the water. That's what these achronim, Mati Yonasan and the Gra point out. That would be the most likely read of the Ramah, who is arguing in favor of this Mordechai b'shem Arman Rutenberg. Again, that Mayim Mekadmin, this whole idea of holding on, of Mayim Mekadmin, is only if it actually is kosher mikvah water. The Vilna Gaon himself does not like that. The Vilna Gaon himself, in Sifkat and Zayin, the long Sifkat and Zayin, so he says, that's Pshat in the Ramah, that's Pshat in the Mordechai. But he personally doesn't think so. He thinks that the Mishnah Mayim Mekadmin does not require that it has to be mikvah water. It has to be wet. The logic of it is that once you have a kasher mikvah, this is a general issue in Hilchos Mikvos, once I have a kasher mikvah of 40 of kosher rainwater, let's say, so I can add Mayim Shu'uvim afterwards. If I have a kasher mikvah, I pour in more water, bottled water, more tap water, that's totally fine. Once I have my core of mem sa'ah mayim ksheir, adding more shu'uvim will not ruin it as long as I begin with that kosher core. So that's part of the logic for being makel against the Ramah and the Mordechai. You say, you already have a kosher mikvah, so now my hands are wet. I'm going to hold the kli tightly, but there's a layer of water. That layer of water isn't yet kosher for tefillah. Good, but then I'll stick my hands under the meha mikvah. And now the water in my hands is connected to everything else. So that would be the logic in saying that I don't need dafka mikvah water to for my hands to be wet. My mikvah can't be anything, because once I plug it into the mikvah, that becomes a chelik of the mikvah as well. It hinges a little bit also on how you read, and with this will sort of wrap up Siv Beis where we began, taking it back to the first Mishnah. We have been focused on Zion, but let's take it back to Ches. Hey, remember the Mishnah had presented two options. One was Yirape, to hold it loosely, and that again was Reb Shimon mentioned it, and Machlokas HaTana, Machlokas Rishonim, does everyone agree to that? Is there only Reb Shimon? But the other solution had been raised by Tana Kama, which was Hidiyach HaZiyado, rinse your hands. What does that mean, rinse your hands? That's this. That's Bimelech Leach Yadav. That's presumably based on my Mekadmin. And the question is, the Hidiyach Yadav means you wash your hands at the mikvah? That's what the Mordechai would say. That's what the Ramah would say. On the other hand, no pun intended, but on the other hand, the language of Hidiyach Yadav sounds like you're washing your hand, rinsing your hands. It doesn't necessarily sound like you're submerging them in the mikvah. So that would be an argument in favor of the Vilna Gaon's approach, that you do not, that Mayim Mekadmin could be any water. the Mayim Makadmin could be any type of water, and that in fact, if you wanted to, you could put the Kli straight down on the wet bucket, and that's fine. Then once you lower it into the mikveh, it'll connect with everything else, and that'll be fine. Or if you wanted to, according to Vilgun, you could wash your hands from any type of water, then hold on to the Kli tightly. That would be fine. I think that common practice is to be machmer like the Ramah. To wrap up and talk about one important practical case that does not necessarily fall into either of these. So Lamasa, the Mechaber quotes two solutions if how I can hold the Kli underwater. Either I can hold it loosely, and the Mechaber is willing to be makel, at least in Hilchas Tfilas Kalim, to be makel against many what might be many Rishonim in the Tanakama. We're makel that Rifion does work. Got to be careful; it's not tight, but we're if you're careful, that's fine. We're not making it impose Exeiras Rabbanon. Or if you want to hold it tightly, then get your hands wet. And again, I think the standard approach is to machmir like the Ramah, that it should be wet with mikvah water. And the Matiyonis and Grub point out, that means mikvah water is still connected. And again, the logic of the Gon who's makel, that could be any water, it's like you're being Mosif, Maim Shu'uvim onto a pre-existing mikvah. Without getting too deep into the details of mikvahs, it's not so pasha that would apply, and that's part of the logic for why the Mordechai Ramah Machmir, if it's a very small, it's certainly true if you add water, pour more shu'uvim into a mikveh, that all becomes part of a kosher mikveh. But if there's a very tiny hole connecting the mikveh and the shu'uvim, then it's not valid. That's mishnais, kishofer is hanod. So the argument, the mikveh's argument in favor of being machmir, in favor of the Mordechai and Ramah, is yes, you're attaching the non-mikveh water on your hands to the kosher mikveh, but you're holding tightly. So there's a tiny crack of space, minuscule, what's connecting the water in between your hands and the kli to the mikveh. So that's loosely speaking, is the argument in favor of the Mordechai Ramah that you really need to have kosher and mikveh, and that the din of Mayim Makadmin is only as the Mishnah, the end of Perek Zayin, had described, when it's all connected water of a mikveh. But again, Lamasa, if you want to hold on, you can hold on loosely, or you can hold on with Hidiyah Chesyadav, Mayim Makadmin, with a pre-wetted hand, according to Mordechai Ramah, Dafka, hand under the as a part of the mikveh water. It is, though, common that people are a common problem, is you sometimes have a case where the kalim might be weighted down with other kalim and not have Mayim Makadmin either. So let's say sometimes they have the baskets in the mikvos that you can use for silverware. And doing a lot of silverware, it's instead of putting one piece at a time, put the pieces into the basket. That's the logic behind it. That does work in principle. The problem is, if you abuse the baskets, they may get in the way of a proper tefillah. So if I put a few pieces of silverware in the basket, I told my mom. But if I... if the whole holes in the basket are very small, you may want to make sure to submerge it. You have the water coming over the top. But if you have sometimes people take a whole set of, I have service for 12, 65 pieces of silver, just pour them all into the basket and then dip it down and up, that's probably not a kosher tefillah. Because you have a lot of pieces that are stacked on one another, and depending on how they're sitting, there may be pieces that are touching each other. You have a stack of spoons, one and the other, and it wasn't my makadmin, they're all dry. I just stacked them, put them in the mikveh, so they're parts of the kli that didn't get touched. So that's taka, a problem. So you want to usually not overfill the baskets, and often in the mikveh there'll be a sign that says, don't overfill the baskets, make sure to shake things around, so you get everything touching. Alternatively, one of my sons suggested a very simple solution, which I mentioned before. Instead of putting all the pieces in the basket and then dipping it in, why not put in an empty basket into the mikveh and drop the silverware into the basket one at a time. And then everything is la mahadrin, because each piece has its second, has a split second when it's falling through the mikveh, and that piece is, even if you drop several pieces at a time, you're probably fine, if you're a Tetris person. You drop several pieces at a time, and they slowly, and you, once they hit the bottom of the basket, it's irrelevant, because the tevila occurred, the tevila was chal, before you even hit the bottom of the basket. The tevila was chal as it's falling through the mikveh. So whatever it is, there can be different solutions. You have to make sure You have to make sure to that each kli will have its moment in the sun, or it will have its moment in the water. Each kli has to have one moment, one split second, at which simultaneously all parts, all the entire surface of the kli is simultaneously in contact with the Meha Mikvah. Mordechai, that long Mordechai raised some other issues also that Darkei Moshe has, such as if you're toveling a container with a narrow lip, with a Latin narrow hole, you have to make a bottle, you have to make sure the water gets in. You have to make sure it gets wet inside. You're gonna, or particularly, even if it's not such a narrow hole, if you put in a bowl or a pot upside down, so you may have an air bubble that never gets filled with water. So you have to just be aware to make sure that you have tefilas kolak kliv vazachas. That's an issue. So that's Se'if Beis. Se'if Gimel is about bracha. If you look back once again at the Mordechai, this issue also is driven by the Mordechai. So in Mordechai quotes, you do make a bracha. That's a Gemara. We know there's a Gemara in a number of places. It quotes the seven-word memory of Shmuel. Sounds like every single mitzvah requires a Birkas HaMitzvah in advance of the Asiyah. So I'm sure you're aware that many Rishonim or Falpel, it doesn't really sound like it's Kol Mitzvahs Kulam. There are many, many exceptions. There's a famous tshuva of the Rav Yosef Ibn Palat wrote a response to the Ravid. Ravid had asked him, Yamdein Rabbeinu, how come there are so many mitzvahs that don't have brachas? So many mitzvahs do have brachas. We make a bracha on lulav and on tefillin and on tzitzis, and we don't make a bracha on emunah and on sipri tzias mitzrayim and on kriyas shema and on tefila and on kivud aveim. Yamdein Rabbeinu, what's the rule? Shmuel made it sound like everything, clearly it's not everything, but there must be some, well, what are the categories? So that's, we don't know much about Yosef and Palat. I don't know whether we have anything else for Yosef and Palat in writing other than that one tshuva, but that one tshuva gives us a sense he must be one of the Gedolei Hadar. The impression you get. The Ravid, who was one of the Gedolei Hadar, turns to him with great hachna, could you please explain to me, Navoch, I'm so Navoch in this issue, maybe you could explain it. Yosef and Palat says, sure, here's the pshat, this category, that category. So it sounds like he was someone to whom the Ravid turned. So he must have been a very, 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 very great Talmud Chacham. There's a Rabbeinu Manoach on the new Frankel Rambam. There's a Rabbeinu Manoach on many parts of Mishnah Torah. So in the Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Brachos, which is a Perek about Birkas HaMitzvahs, so he has a discussion about that. Chuvas HaRashba quotes Rav Yosef Palat. The Abu Draham talks about, quotes about this. There is a fair amount of discussion about that question. Tevilas Kelim is a mitzvah that does require a bracha. That is not up for grabs. Everyone agrees that you do make a bracha on Tevilas Kelim. There is, however, a three-way machlokas, what do you say? The Mordechai quotes 3 days in terms of what the formula of the bracha should be. From shortest to longest, number one is the Rashbam, Rabbeinu Shmuel, who the elder grandson of Rashi, who says, Alat Fila. That's it. Same bracha Anita makes, Alat Fila, period. And then the second day that the Mordechai quotes is Al Tfilas Kelim. And then the third version that the Mordechai quotes is Al Tfilas Kle Matchos. Specifically, metal claims. They have increasing amounts of detail. And he says that you want to say Tfilas Kle Matchos, so that way you're not including Kelim, which would be Potter. You don't want to include in the bracha tovelin wooden kalim or tovelin rubber kalim or tovelin pottery. Those are potter. So say al tefilas klei matos. Those are the 3 days of Mordechai quotes al tefila, al tefilas kalim, al tefilas klei matos. And the Haggadah Asher in the side of the Rush, Parakesim and Lamedei in our sugya, he quotes the Orza Rua Paskin like version number 3. And you look in the Shach here. You look at Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is like version number 2. You say, Al Tfilas Kli, or Al Tfilas Kelim, the Shach on the side, Sivkan Ches, says, well, there were those who had held the version 3. He says, the Bach said that. And he says, the Yisiv Hatter says that. And the Bach goes on to say, look, we find this degree of detail in some other situations too. What do you say Hanukkah time? You don't say Lahadlik Ner. Halak Ner Shel Chanukah. Well, Halak Ner Chanukah, every Nosach is, but you're specified. So it says, Ner Chanukah, Kli Matzchos, same thing. Same thing. So as we said, the Shulchan Aruch says the middle version, Al Tefilas Kli or Kalim, and that's based on the tour. And the Taz explains, Taz supports the middle view against his father-in-law, the Bach, who supports view number three, Kli Kli Matzchos. The Taz supports version number two, and he says, look. He says, you really think you're supposed to include all the details of the din? So why stop with Kliyas Kli Matzchos? Do you have to tovel a metal bicycle? No. So you should have to say, Atfilas Kli Matzchos. Atfilas Kli Matzchos Shal Suda. How many details are we going to give? Right. You have the Mordechai with the Sakhar Shashchita. You start getting very, very detailed. You don't give a halacha shir when you make a bracha. That's not the goal, the Taz says. The goal is not to be mefart or the dinim. The goal is just to identify the mitzvah. So he says, Ner Chanukah, that's the mitzvah, is Ner Chanukah. It's not a mitzvah of Ner, it's a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So it's somewhat an issue of intuition. The Pri Chadash on the side of the Gemara, on the side of Shulchan Aruch, has a different issue with version 3, aside from the Taz's issue that Ein L'Davar Sof, and that we're not trying to give detail, the Pri Charash says, it's even if you did want to give detail, even if you did want to give, even if the Bach is right in principle, that we do want to be more detailed, we say Ner Chanukah, that's fine, because Lahadat Ner Shel Chanukah covers every single instance of the mitzvah d'rabbanan of hadlakas ner. Hadlakas ner is Chanukah. Right? Hadlakas ner shel Shabbos covers every single instance of the mitzvah of hadlakas ner Shabbos. Al tefilas lulav covers every single scenario of the mitzvah d'oraisa of dal minim. He says, but we have a mitzvah of tefilas kelim. It comes in two flavors. It includes metal and glass. So the Pri Charash says, even if you would want to be more detailed, but we do not find, at least according to most Rishonim, we do not find that Chazal developed more than one formula for a single mitzvah. So what are you going to say? You're going to say Al Tefilas Kli Matzchos and Al Tefilas Kli Zechuchos? Two different neschos of the bracha for the same mitzvah? That's rare. Now again, if you're holding the sugya and menachas about the bracha and tefillin, so there is to an extent perhaps a depending on what you pass on, like Rashi or Tosfos, you're a Sfarad, you only make one bracha usually, so if you're mafsa, you can make a second bracha. Okay. A different type of bracha. But it remains true that in general, Ashkenazim assume like Tosfos say, no. We always say, L'hanich tefillin shel yad, you always say, L'hanich tefillin shel rosh, those are two separate mitzvahs, not an issue. And Pri Chadash's argument is very cogent, that we don't generally find multiple versions of a bracha for the very same mitzvah. There are Rishonim who do. The Rambam did. The Rambam understood that Al versus Lid depends on the details. So maybe if the father himself is doing the Mila versus if someone else is doing the Mila, that may drive whether you say Al HaMila or Lamul. Okay. So the Rambam did believe that there can be multiple neschos of a bracha for a single mitzvah. But that's not the accepted opinions right now among Ashkenazim. So the Pri Chadash's argument is very, very strong. So Lamaisa, what do you have? 3 days in the Mordechai, 3 days of what the bracha should be. The Rashbam said Al HaTfila. The Tur and the Shulchan Aruch and the Taz held Al Tfilas Kli or Al Tfilas Kalim. And the Arzarua and the Isvahetra, the Bach and the Shach, well, hard to know exactly where the Shach stands here, but certainly the Arzarua, the Isvahetra, and the Bach held Al Tfilas Kli. Matros, halach al-maisa, we do say that we accept the middle approach that Shulchan Aruch has, al tvilas kli, or al tvilas kelim. Whether it's because we fundamentally reject the third approach, the way the Taz said, we don't try to have that degree of detail, or, the Pri Charash said, even if in principle we would accept the desire to have more detail, but to mention matros is the wrong detail to mention, because because then it bifurcates a single mitzvah tefilas kelim into multiple brachas. Yeah.
Why is the tefilas kelim and tefilas kelim not the same problem?
It's an interesting question. I think that's just being grammatically accurate. I mean, you're not fundamentally changing the nusach habracha. You're just trying to speak. So you could say, why not just say, the mitzvah is tefilas kli, to be tovah kli. I happen to be doing it multiple times. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure it's an interesting point. My intuition would be that a grammatical tweak is different than adding more details. A grammatical tweak is fundamentally the same nusach habracha, just fitting grammatically to what's going on. Yeah, so that's more than. So my intuition would be is that's more than just grammar. And grammar, a grammatical tweak is fundamentally the same bracha, but I'm not sure. The Vilna Gaon does have a comment here on the Shnayim or Yoser, but it's not about your issue. He just sends you, it's worth being aware. He sends you in Sifkat and Tess, he sends you to Tosefta in the last paragraph of Brachas, that this is an example of a larger phenomenon. That is, what you're focusing on, which is a good question, is about the Nusach HaBracha. There's another point that the Shulchan Aruch is making, which is not only that you don't say Al Tvias Kli and then Tovo the Kalim, you say Al Tvias Kalim, but also they don't say Al Tvias Kli, Tovo the first Kli, another Bracha Al Tvias Kli, Tovo the second Kli, and so on and so forth. Just as with food, you make a Bar Priya Eitz, one Bar Priya Eitz covers all the apples and oranges and peaches and pears you want to eat, who I denami, Tosefta points out, that's true with a mitzvah as well. That you make one bracha on multiple iterations of a mitzvah. I believe the Tosefta, if I remember correctly, Tosefta there even has a shita, I think it's Rabbi Shimon, that even if you're doing multiple mitzvahs, you could do many different mitzvahs, you would make a general bracha of al ha-mitzvahs. We don't accept that. We make a separate bracha for each mitzvah, just as we make a separate bracha for each category of food. But if you're going to perform multiple iterations, multiple repetitions of the same mitzvah, I'm going to check multiple rooms in my house for chametz, or I check the house and the car, and then I'll drive down the block and check the office. Or I'm moving into a house and I'm putting up all the mezuzos, or I'm tovling multiple kelim. So you make one bracha and it covers all of the kelim. So that's an important thing. That's something we already came across earlier. Tosos kept referencing that. I mean, whenever you have a suffix tefillah, so Tosos keeps suggesting that you can't make a bracha on the suffix tefillah. So the best solution would be makbala together with something that's chayiv bavadei. How does that help? Because of this din. Because of this Tosefta that's being quoted in Shulchan Aruch Siv Gimel, that if you're being matal multiple kelim, even if they are all chayiv bevadai, you only make one bracha. So then, if you have some which are suffic, so just be wise about how you sequence and make sure that the first one that you're tovel is chayiv bevadai. So bein kavacho, you're making a bracha on that. And then, in case the other ones are chayiv and tefillah, so they're covered by a bracha. And if they're not, there's no bracha vatala because they have to make a bracha anyways. The same way the post can write in Hilchos Mezuzah, and you're putting up mezuzahs in multiple mezuzahs. Not that one fell down has to be replaced, but you're putting up all the mezuzahs in an apartment or in a house. So you want to make sure many mezuzahs are going to be mutl basafik, whether that doorway is chayiv or not. So make sure that the first one you put up is one that's vaday chayiv, like a bedroom, let's say. And then, once you make a bracha on that, then you spread it through the house and put up all the other mezuzahs, and everything else will be covered by the bracha that you have to bevaday say on that first one anyhow. But just thinking about your point more, about the tefilas kli versus tefilas kelim. It is curious, especially since, well, might as well say by mezuzah, we say l'kbo mezuzah, even if you pray multiple mezuzos. We don't say l'kbo mezuzos. Right, we don't say neiros shalchanaka. Now there you might say the first one is ikar, the rest is all hidur. Maybe, maybe not. Yeah, albir ham it's not relevant, but mezuzah we don't pluralize. I'm not sure. Why all of a sudden here we do pluralize? Especially given that the Mechaber is rejecting Kli Matzchos. Again, my intuition is somewhat different because this is just a small grammatical tweak. But at the very least, it's curious that we don't feel the need to make that grammatical tweak anywhere else. So how come all of a sudden here we do? That I'm not sure. Yeah.